All right, now it's time for Talking Books with Susan Brown, who heads up the Chapel Hill Public Library just down the road from us, off of Estes Drive on Library Drive, and she joins us now here in the studio. How are you?
I am fantastic.
Awesome.
How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm feeling good.
It's like nice, weird. It's the weather.
Yes.
It's crazy.
A little bit.
It's like 50-something degrees out there right now.
56-ish, yeah, thereabouts.
It's just weird. I mean, like 36 hours ago,
it was
like 12.
20, yeah, thereabouts. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm fine with this. I'm okay with that. The problem is like when it gets all fluctuating back and forth and then you start sneezing and blowing your nose. And I'm starting to get that a little bit, but
right.
That's fine. I'll take that for an extra 20 degrees in the temperature.
Yeah. Well, I like this because here's a weird fact, a personal fact.
We can make it a fun fact. This is going to be the funnest fact
TMI.
You've heard all day.
I am not a coat wearer. I'm also not a sock wearer. So whether I'm just not, I rarely wear a coat. I don't.
You're right. That was a little bit of a weird
fact. I know. So weather like this is great for me.
Yes.
Because 2 days ago, I would be jetting through the parking lot and people are just like, where is your coat?
Right,
and now
right.
I'm like, nobody cares. I don't have a coat
That's
on.
That's true.
Fine.
I've never noticed that. But yeah,
have you
don't
ever seen
wear
me wearing a coat?
No,
do I ever
I guess
put
not.
My coat on the chair? No,
no,
I don't.
You really don't. Why is that?
It's just work. It's trouble. It's
That's
burdensome.
Fair. That's fair. I'm anti-layer. Like, I don't like wearing undershirts.
Same.
Like,
because
it just feels like it's too much. But I will wear a jacket if it's cold, because, like, that's what
sane.
You do as a sane human man. Like, you know. Interesting.
Yeah. So there you go.
Man.
That's why people tune into the show, to hear random personal facts about me. Not
that's
about
also
books.
Why you live in the South, I assume.
There you go.
Like,
right.
Like, take that policy to Connecticut.
To Michigan.
You're never to
right.
Michigan. Yeah,
yeah
it's
yeah,
awful.
Yeah.
All right,
so
what's going on?
Things are going great. As always, it's busy at the library.
Yes.
I was coming out of a meeting in one of our meeting rooms, and I just looked and, like, the lobby was just full. Like, every seat in the lobby was full. And then I moved on into the interior. Like, every seat in the building was full, which is awesome. We love it. So, libraries hopping. I wanted to mention a couple of programs that we have coming up. We have a lot of, you know, there's some weeks when I come on and we have these huge, giant author events or huge public programs
right.
happening. We have a lot of programs coming up. They're just sort of a kind of our mid-sized programs that are fantastic, and they don't always get the spotlight on the show. So just a couple things. Tomorrow night, we've been doing some sort of experimenting with writing programs. So we do lots of reading programs.
Right.
And so we have Zelda Lockhart coming. So she's an author. I loved her debut novel was called Fifth Born. It's such a great book. She's a professor at NC Central. She's the chair of the Department of English there, I think.
Okay.
We had her on a panel recently, and everybody just loved her. I mean, she's the kind of person who you meet, and it's just like, oh, I want to be your best friend.
Yeah.
I want to go shopping with you. I want to, like, go have a glass of wine or something. So we brought her back. So the first time that she was speaking as an author, and it was one of these book conversations, and tomorrow night she's coming, and she's talking about writing. So she teaches writing workshops, and she's talking about writing as a way to build community, to build connections, with kind of a focus on personal writing, memoirs, personal journals. So if you're at all interested in writing, or you're currently writing, or you're thinking about writing, or hashtag am writing, that's going to be a really great program. And she is just fabulous.
When is that going to be?
It is tomorrow night, probably, it's at 6:30. So a
okay.
lot of our things start at 7. That one starts at 6:30. And then another series that I wanted to mention, we did this last year and it was great. So we brought it back this Saturday. We are partnering with the National Humanities Center, which is out in the park. And they basically, it's a series called Conversations with Scholars, which is, you know, not an uncommon thing here at Chapel
Hill.
Yes. You can, like,
pretty much every conversation you have
gas.
Is with a scholar, yeah.
But this is great. So it's a series, and it's a variety of topics. So they bring a scholar. The scholar presents a brief presentation on whatever their topic is.
Right.
And then people get to ask questions and learn more.
Cool.
So there's one of those that we just kicked off this year's series. So this coming Saturday. The topic is conservation and controversy. And it is Professor James E. Taylor. And he is talking about the whole, the sort of history of the movement for natural conservation and the controversies therein from, you know, the Depression era through now.
I like that.
And then there's a whole bunch more in that series. So you can go to our website and see there's 6 or 8 programs. They're all really, really high quality. And again, they're Saturday afternoons. They're well received, and they're a bit smaller scale. So these are like, you know, 30, 40 people coming rather than, okay, you know, when we
so
break
you
fire
really
code.
Get to have a conversation
exactly
with the scholar.
Exactly,
yeah,
exactly.
Also appreciate that you have to specify James E. Taylor so that he's not going to be showing up with the guitar.
Then we'd have everybody,
then
right,
everyone would show up, right?
Come for James E. Taylor, please.
Yes, absolutely.
So yeah, and people can always, of course, go to our website and to our calendar and see what's going on. And just glancing at it, we've got an introduction to 3D printing this weekend.
Ooh.
We have our Birds of Winter program that is continuing. We've got all kinds of things
happening. I'm excited about 3D printing. Like, that's something that I want to get into a lot more, because that to me is the future. Like, forget about the hoverboards and the flying cars and everything.
Right?
The fact that you can hit a button and just print any three-dimensional item you want is just fascinating to me, and I haven't gotten into it yet.
Yes, so when 3D printing first became a thing, I was like, yeah, you just push a button and you can have like a coffee mug.
Right.
It takes like a day and a half
to
make a
coffee mug. Yeah, no, I get
that.
Yeah.
So the technology has improved. But what I love about this is so many of our programs are partnerships. So we had some community members who said they do 3D printing. They're also interested in teaching and engaging people in science. So we sort of joined up with them because we don't have a 3D printer and we don't have any staff that can 3D print. So it's a really great partnership as well. So again, you can go to our website, see everything that's happening. And one thing that's happening, is winter reading, book bingo.
Book bingo.
That's right. Book bingo is ending soon. You have one more week. You have one more week to finish your book bingo card. So this is our winter reading program. Everybody knows our summer reading gigantic program. Every winter during winter break, we do about a 6-week program or 8-week program where it's grab a bingo card. The whole idea is to read some new things, maybe stretch your reading muscles a little bit. Mm-hmm. There's some prizes involved. This year we have this interactive wall where you can add book recommendations, which
like
is
that.
Really, really fun. So you've got one more week to fill out your bingo card.
Which you can do. It can be
absolutely
done.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
You don't have to read the books this week. If you read a book last month, that
right,
counts
that
or
counts,
whatever.
Yeah.
You can download a card on our website or stop by the building and get one.
Which is chapelhillpubliclibrary.org, by
you
the
got
way.
It.
I should mention it, yeah.
So we thought we would talk about, for those who have a week to finish,
yeah,
we thought that we would offer some book recommendations.
Bingo. Book bingo.
Book bingo. You do that better than me. It's like you're on
oh,
the radio
you.
All the time
no,
or something.
Oh, no.
All right.
All right. So we've got 16 categories here, and it's a 4x4, so you have to fill 4 in a row to get the thing. Can you do 4 corners and
yeah,
do you do
sure.
the 4 corner things?
I mean,
all right.
Yes.
Sure.
If I say you can, right? If the director says 4 corners... Yeah, 4 corners.
All the library staff sitting there
they're
listening
like,
to this,
oh,
like, no, no.
Don't let her on the radio. I think 4 corners is fine.
All right, good. So what are our categories? What do we got?
Oh, my gosh. So we try and make it easy for folks.
Right.
You can read in your comfort zone, or you can stretch a little bit. So there's everything from fantasy, sci-fi,
right,
nonfiction.
Separate, yep, nonfiction.
To things like Warm and Fuzzy, or my favorite, Blue Cover.
Yes. Catch 22, by the way. Gotta be for me.
The Great Gatsby has
a blue
cover.
Oh, The Great Gatsby
has
a blue cover, right? Right.
So, yeah, you can. And of course, some books might fulfill one or more of these categories. Like, maybe you could have one book that does all of those. Would that be possible? I doubt it.
Probably.
Maybe.
Well, staff pick kind of narrows it down. Also, nonfiction and sci-fi would be a little bit difficult to put together. But
what
I feel
do you
like
mean?
It could be done.
I don't get it.
I don't know.
I'm kidding. No, right. So, anyways.
Maybe it's an old sci-fi novel that has come
that
true.
That has come true,
like 1984
yes.
or something like that. And there's some Warm and Fuzzy scenes in 1984.
Sure.
I'm not
sure.
There. Oh, there's animals in 1984, yeah, right? If you haven't read it, it's new to you. It's not a North Carolina author, but he was probably in North Carolina at some point. Yeah, there you go.
So that's how it works. I mean, that's not how it works. That is not how it
works. That is a bad way to do book bingo.
Read four books on, you know, somehow map them to these topics. You come in and you get the first card that you turn in, you get a free book. And then every card, you can read more. And of course, we have so many kids who are just like, I'm done. Give me another card. And I'm done. Give me another card, which is great. Kids are reading over the break. Every card that you finish after that, you're entered into a prize drawing.
Awesome. I like it.
So, yeah.
Cool. So what are we going to recommend based on these categories?
Shall I go first,
go for
or
it.
Would you like to?
Okay. So, we mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, and I guess this would fall under fantasy, maybe. I think this falls under fantasy as far as the categories go. But I mentioned Lincoln and the Bardo by George Saunders.
Yes.
That's kind of it's fantastic.
It's fantastical.
In a way.
Yeah.
I am unfortunately not quite done with it yet. I said 2 weeks ago I wanted to have it done in 2 weeks, and I'm halfway through. It's excellent. I'm hoping to finish it in the next 2 days, so I'll get in under the wire for book bingo, but it's a great, great book. It really is.
Awesome. I think that could count in any number of categories. New to you.
New to me, right.
Reader's choice. That opens a lot of doors there,
right? Reader's choice
is
just anything, yeah.
Wintery,
because it's winter when because it's like February, yeah.
So I was going to start with a winter pick.
All right.
Which would also go in probably scary suspense and around the world as well. But I wanted to recommend a book called The Terror by Dan Simmons. So Dan Simmons is, I think, an underread author. He's written science fiction. He's written some sort of horror-ish stuff. He's written some things that you might call thrillers. Mm-hmm. If people know him, they know him from a science fiction series called The Hyperion Quartet.
I've heard of that, yeah.
Really,
yeah.
Really, really good. But he's sort of ventured out in the last couple of years, and The Terror, first of all, his books tend to be very long, so that's a thing to know. But The Terror is based on a true happening. In 1845, two ships departed England, and they headed to the Arctic, and they were setting out to find the famed Northwest Passage. Mm. And before they got there, they got stuck in the ice, both ships. And at one point, all of the men on both ships disappeared.
Mm.
So this is the thing that happened. And some of the crew members' graves were found later, but that was like three or four of them. So nobody knows what happened. Your face right now is priceless. It's just like, what? Right? I've got you hooked, right? So there have been all kinds of theories. And in the 80s, a bunch of scientists set out to like kind of solve this mystery. Well, Dan Simmons took it upon himself to solve it. And let me just tell you what happened to them. It was a monster. That's all I'm going to tell you. So this is, it's historical fiction. It's scary, but it's not like gory scary. It's that like kind of building, that sort of sense
suspense,
of foreboding,
yeah.
Suspense. And then you also learn some things about the actual, I mean, he's, you know, adding fiction on, but you learn about Arctic voyages and all of the travel then. So if you like historical fiction, if you don't mind a little bit dark, if you like unsolved mysteries being solved by an author, The Terror by Dan Simmons is fantastic.
I usually think of historical fiction and horror kind of mixed together as genres, but that sounds cool.
Yeah, and I think somebody has made it into a miniseries. I think like Netflix or somebody has picked it up. And the other thing I'll share, and then I will let you recommend a book, but I have to share this. If you follow us on social media in the last week, you will have seen some great pictures. So there's a gentleman who's a power user of the Chapel Hill Public Library. His name is Dr. Glenn Withrow. Mm. Many, many people know him. He's retired from his career job. And I met him one day. He was getting audiobooks, and I'm chatting him up. And I said, so what do you do now? And he said, well, I'm the ship's doctor on National Geographic Explorer missions. And
whoa.
I said, tell me more,
yes.
Right? So he was getting ready to go on an expedition to Antarctica. And so people have to know, I was a marketing person for several years. I was like,
The late fees on those audiobooks are going to be ridiculous.
I know, right? Right? I said, Dr. Withrow, if I gave you a Chapel Hill Public Library t-shirt, could you get it on a penguin and take some pictures?
Yes.
So he's such a good sport. So I encourage everybody to go to our Facebook and our Twitter feed. He did not get it on a penguin, but there's a series of pictures of him in the ice with the ship behind him, and he's wearing our shirt, and he even took a picture book called Ordeal by Ice, and it's a picture book, a kid's book version of, like, the Shackleton story, right? And it's this series of pictures where like, he's looking puzzled, like, how do I get this ship out of the ice? Oh, I read this book, now I know. And he took all of these pictures wearing a Chapel Hill Public Library shirt in the Arctic ice. They're awesome. And a monster did not eat him. He came back okay.
All the better. And we got the shirt on Antarctica. That's awesome, too.
Yeah. Cool.
All right, well, I'm going to recommend, as new to me, Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee by Dee Brown, which has, I've been saying, I'm going through my bookshelves, pulling books off that I've owned for years and years and haven't read. George Saunders' Lincoln and the Bard, I was the last book at the very bottom of the stack, so once I'm done with that in a couple of days, that will be the end of that project, but I just got done reading the Wounded Knee book, and it is a great read. It's just unbelievably well written. So for just a history book, it's fantastic. It's not dry. It's very fast moving and sobering. Right, like all of the things that happened with the Indian Wars and the tragedy of it between 1860 and 1890. But it's absolutely worth reading.
And
so
who was the author of that?
Dee Brown.
Think, yeah. Thank you. I was just looking it up. I was like, yeah, I mean, that's a book that, you know, many books come out, they're big books, and then they kind of fade away. And I don't think that one's ever faded away.
Yeah. And I think a lot of it now, and I got this, I was reading, I've read a couple of these books recently. I was reading Bell Hooks not that long ago, and you read it and you're like, okay, this isn't bad. And then I realized that one of the reasons that it hadn't hit me over the head with the power and the weight of the argument was that the author had won. Like the arguments that were being made, which were revolutionary in like 1971 when Dee Brown wrote, or when Bell Hooks wrote, it was the 80s. Like a lot of these arguments were brand new, and now they've just made their way out into the world so much that they don't have the same immediate power, because there's more of a recognition that, yes, this author was correct in the way that they interpreted history or society or culture. But in both cases, like, they're still fantastic writers and still great books worth reading.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Yeah. That's a great one.
Yeah.
Okay, what
That's it
else?
For me. You got
That's it for you.
You got
oh,
one,
my gosh.
You got one more.
Okay, so I'm going to go with, so many choices. Not warm and fuzzy. I don't read anything that's warm and fuzzy.
I don't know. A monster might be warm and fuzzy.
Right?
You could count the terror in
like
there.
Like the big guy from the Rudolph movie?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to recommend one that's not necessarily new to me, but it would be new to someone who might be listening. And it could also check off scary suspense and around the world.
Okay.
I'm going to recommend an author. So a lot of people read crime fiction and thrillers. That's some of our highest circulating fiction for adults. And people often say, I've read everything by X author. So I'm going to recommend somebody who I feel like is a little bit underread, kind of like Dan Simmons. And this is an author named Sharon Bolton. She used to go by S.J. Bolton. For some reason, she switched to Sharon. But I feel like S.J. Bolton sounds more like a thriller writer.
Really, yeah.
But she's British, and she's written, she's probably got a dozen books. And they're sort of exist between mystery, thriller, not horror, a little like supernatural. They're often in these sort of far-flung settings, like, you know, Cornwall or some small island off the coast of Ireland. And they are... I'm not doing a very good job describing them, am I? They're dark and twisty. They're not really scary. There's supernatural elements.
This is sounding pretty good.
They open with a crime. So, like, I'm reading one by her now that's called Dead Woman Walking. And it opens with, there are people that are on a hot air balloon trip. There's 13 people. And they observe, they're up in the air over this kind of desolate park. And they observe a woman being killed below. And they, as they realize that she's being killed, the guy who's killing her looks up and sees them. Mm. And 10 minutes later, the balloon crashes. There's one survivor. It's so the whole story is this one woman who's on the who's being chased by the killer.
Mm.
It's so good.
Oh, that's awesome.
Some of hers have more kind of supernatural stuff. This is one of her more kind of mainstream crime books. But she's an author who will be new to many people in the suspense genre. Also set in England. Could check many boxes. S.J. Bolton, now known as Sharon Bolton.
And that is Talkin' Books. Head to chapelhillpubliclibrary.org and download your winter reading book bingo card. And you've got 8 more days to
get it
in.
Happy winter reading, yes.
Susan Brown, thank you so much.
Thanks.